if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 291. This is our 2024 Waste Management Phoenix Open and Commercial Bank Qatar Masters Bets Pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamber, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA and DP World Tour Golf. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gambler. You can visit begamblerware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews, strokes gained rankings, form statistics, plus of course, our predictor models for both events this week. All of that content, it's available completely free of charge. We have no paywall. On X, I am at Bamford Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. If you are watching, stroke listening to this on YouTube, please like the video. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This one is from Innes. And Innes, I believe, is in Scotland, but it comes up on here as the UK. Thanks is the title. Five stars. Least I can do is write a review. I have no clue, but thanks to you, I get some ideas for my bets. The players, unfortunately, usually lose. I don't blame them, though. I blame yous. That's cheers from Innes. So I think I blame yous. That would come across as the Innes is
plural. Yeah, so we're all at fault. I mean, accepted.
Yeah. What can you say? Thanks for taking the time to write. And it's this game in general, isn't it? It's famine or feast, and there's generally quite a bit of famine in between the odd feast that you get with a win or two every now and again. So
I was on a great run, Paul, and then I managed to get Sahith Tagala back in September, and since then it's been like a desert.
Perhaps it all changes. Apart
from Keegan Bradley, we had Keegan Bradley the other week, didn't we? The playoff loss, that was a that was a cracker, but yeah, that's how it works. That's how it rolls, unfortunately.
Yeah, the difference between someone winning, you know, Keegan winning that playoff and coming second makes such a massive difference to the, you know, to how you're performing or how your results have been, how your P&L looks, you know, how your general kind of I don't know, outlook as to each and every week becomes. Because I know myself, when I'm on a bad run, I tend to get a little bit more defensive with my picks, and that's probably not the way to be. It's probably should just go out there with freedom each week and pick as if you're on the best winning roll of your life.
Can I just say on the reviews, of course, if you're listening on Spotify, press that five-star button, and of course, and if you are in Ireland, United States, Canada, Australia, let's have some international five-star reviews, please. Get them across. You might be being read out next week. Now, talking about having a bad run, I had this feedback last night from The Ordinary on X. He's at Lord Lou Can. He replied to a tweet I sent out. Here's to a change in fortune. I now have seven, in brackets, yes, seven, outright tournament seconds in a row. Not something I would have thought was even possible, and he's listed them. Ludwig, Rasmus, Seabez, Ben Arne, Sahith, Mac Hughes, Alex Noren. Golfing gods look down on me kindly, exclamation mark. And then he goes on to say, I know, to be fair, I was handling it well enough as a succession of recovered alcoholics and amateurs edged out my picks. But Ludwig losing to a course record from out of the blue and a freak weather event has quite frankly done my head in. Oh, Lord Lucan. We do feel sorry for you, but that fantastic picking, eh? Seven runners up on the on the trout, on the bounce. That's amazing.
Yeah, what can you do? You can lead a horse to water, Steve, but sometimes that's just the way your luck rolls. Perhaps it all perhaps it all changes for him this week.
I've got to repeat that. But Ludwig losing to a course record from out of the blue in a freak weather event has quite frankly done my head in.
Yeah.
That is just the ultimate golf betting statement right there.
That's a mild reaction, I think. Fine, you've got to say, well, fair played, Lord Lucan, for keeping your chill. That's seven in a row is definitely beating your record, Steve, by a long stretch, right?
Oh, yeah. You might want to follow him on Twitter. I don't know if he puts his tips out there, but he's due a win.
He is due a win, yeah.
That takes us to last week. I don't know what to say, really. I don't really know. Paul, you talk about the DP World Tour quickly. Go on, give us 30 seconds. I know that you managed to get a full each way on Soderberg, so well done on that, Soderberg, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he saved a week, didn't he? Actually, to be fair, he got himself right into the mix. He was one off the lead coming down the stretch and just threw that double in on the 17th just to make sure that he stood no chance whatsoever of winning, which was a shame. But yeah, he got a full place in the end with the eight places each way that I backed him on, so that was good. Dylan Fratelli, 175-1. On Monday, best price I saw, generally about a 150. So for anyone who managed to pluck him out, then fantastic.
We track straights going metrics, and Dylan Fratelli has been one of the worst golfers on the planet for like the last 9 months. But there were some slight signs that he was actually hitting the ball straighter. But yes.
Yeah.
So show you, and it's something clicks and literally bang.
Yeah.
I was just saying, Steve always says about the guys who are playing a bit on the PGA Tour coming across to the DP World Tour and just feasting. I think you've mentioned Fratelli off mic last week or off recording. It stuck with me, which is annoying.
Yeah, it would have been a tough call because, it made a couple of cuts, which is probably the best you can reasonably say about how his form had been going. But, you know, I did a small post-mortem on the event and it would have taken me a lot of picks to have got down to Dylan Fratelli last week.
Yeah, it wasn't a block of cement on the back of the cranium, was it, before he won? No.
First win for 6 years or so. And this happens, and we see it time and again where players come back from a long fallow period and get that win that you know they are capable of doing. But yeah, I was a long, long way from picking Dylan Fratelli. So to come out of the week unscathed with Soderberg was positive in that respect.
Congratulations to Wyndham Clark backers. There were plenty of you. There was 80-1 out there on Monday. I know he got backed in from 70s on the Tuesday. So excellent pick. He was right on my radar and I managed to persuade myself not to back him. So that's the way it goes. My major concern, though, is clearly the PGA Tour can't legislate for storms coming in when they're building their schedule middle of the previous year. But one thing I will say about Pebble Beach is, because people were acting surprised that there was a big storm coming in and it was going to affect the play. And I tweeted out, well, this tournament over the last 5 years has had a Monday finish twice. And so clearly this year now makes it three of the last six would have finished on a Monday. And you just think you're throwing $30 million of AT&T's money I expect they're probably only one of the sponsors on the roster that could afford to have an elevated event, let's be frank about it, on an event that's got a high risk of major weather problems. And it's followed up by Super Bowl week. And I was listening to Andy Lack's podcast, and Andy says that over in the States, Monday of the Super Bowl week is a massive, you know, everyone's gathering at the site, media 24/7. And it, you know, if they played that event on the Monday, it just literally gets drowned out. No one's going to watch it. No one's going to be bothered about it. So whether that actually came into the final decision to not have Monday, or whether there was damage on the course from the heavy storms, you know, to whatever, you know, could have even been stands or infrastructure or the course itself, I don't know. But anyway, I think the only people that really won this week out of the whole thing was Liv. had a cracking little tournament that finished on time, had a great finish with Neiman, Sergio Garcia, John Rahm charging on Sunday, Tyrrell Hatton. And they actually had it looked like they had more than like 50 people at the event on the 18th at the close. I was quite shocked by the size of the crowd. But yeah, I think PGA Tour, again, hasn't done itself any favours. What can you say?
Yeah, I think where there's a will, there's a way. And you know, perhaps there were different circumstances that meant that they absolutely couldn't have a go at making the tournament work on Monday. But you go back to the Dunhill Links last year. The weather there was horrific. The course conditions were diabolical, and they still managed, because they absolutely wanted to get that event done, to manage to get the final round done so they could get the result in the books. And I suppose it is an element of the Super Bowl that's influenced it there. But yeah, it's a shame. It is a shame because, as you say, Liv have, it was a perfect storm for Liv that weekend that's just passed. Perfect storm.
And I think I ended up watching maybe most of the back nine of the Liv event on Sunday and the playoff, and it was a good leaderboard. I was watching on YouTube, so there were no ads. Lots of golf shots. I mean, it was a pretty good broadcast. It was entertaining to watch. I wanted to watch some live golf on Sunday. I was all psyched up for watching the lads play in Pebble in Wind, but it wasn't a bad substitute.
No. Now, talking of Wind, Barry, you played a game of golf yesterday, and I hear you got a hole in one.
It sounds like such a setup. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I had a hole in one yesterday, downwind hole, hit a nice shot. It was tough to see the green with the light, so we weren't sure if it was in the hole or not until I got down there. So yeah, it was nice surprise to see the ball at the bottom of the cup. Still a few holes behind Phillip Mickelson's 47, which I see is out there on Twitter, which is quite a lot. But good, nice moment. Had a bit of fun.
Describe the shot to me, Barry.
It was downhill par 3, 172 to the pin. Wind was pretty pumping yesterday, so I hit 9-iron. Hit a pretty nice shot. Took a good line, bounced just a little bit short of the green, I bounced short of the green. There was no pitch mark on, so I don't know. I don't think it went in on the fly, and off she went.
Fantastic! That's brilliant stuff. That is.
When are we getting our drinks?
I'll send you a pint to your local.
Yeah.
Steve, you and I'd be happy just to hit a green, wouldn't we? Let alone find a...
Well, if the wind's pumping and he's hitting 9-iron, 180 yards, mate, I'd be taking driver. Well, actually, I wouldn't. It'd be probably like a 5-wood, because I can't hit driver, as you know.
So, yeah. Brilliant stuff. Now, well done, Barry. Really
well
good.
Done, mate.
Thank you.
Right. Paul. Our Bet365 Majors competition. Can you have 30 seconds on that for us, please?
Yes, yeah, it's going nicely. We're getting lots of entries in via email, by Twitter, via X. I'll get there eventually, by Facebook. So if you fancy playing this year, then read the entry instructions, which will be appended to this podcast, and get your entry in. Basically, we want one name for each of the four majors. So one different name for the Masters, for the USPGA, for the US Open, for the Open Championship. We will then create a leaderboard of their performance and their dollars earned from each of the respective events for which you pick them. We'll create an overall leaderboard of everyone who's entered, and there are cash prizes to first, second and third place finishers. So £150 to the first, £75 to the second, £25 to the third, currency equivalent, of course, if you're from overseas. But get your entries in, a little bit of fun, and we need your entries in before the first tee time at the Masters. So get thinking.
We do tend to get a rush, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Masters week, there's hundreds of entries coming in. Quite right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people start to form a view by then, which is quite right. But if you fancy getting your thoughts down nice and early, then by all means do that by one of the entry methods.
Two decent tournaments this week. Let's crack on. Waste Management Phoenix Open. This is the tournament over in the United States on Super Bowl week that tends to feature 700,000 fans over the week. The race, there's going to be all of that footage, of course, of the race at 4 a.m. to get to the 16th as people are trampling over each other, shooting each other to make sure that they can get into that hole. Always one of the highlights, of course, of any PGA Tour year. But yeah, great event, love it. I'm slightly disappointed. The field came together. It looked quite strong. We then got a Victor Hovland WD. And then overnight, we've had a Xander WD, which has absolutely annihilated the top of the betting board this week. But yeah, what can you say? Some of the top names not playing the Waste Management. We have, of course, Tiger's event next week. And then we move across. Can you believe it? The West Coast swing will be done. We're then across to Florida. And you can almost smell Augusta when you get to the Florida swing.
Yeah.
Great event. It's still going to be packed with talent. I know that these WDs have meant that a number of the DP World Tour players are now going to get a look in. So my understanding is that Alexander Bjork's been added to the field.
Yeah.
And Sammy Vala... Is it Sammy Valamaki's also been added?
Sammy Valamaki was the last in, yes. So right. I think Bob McIntyre's the next alternate, isn't he? So
he is.
He stands a chance if there's another WD at any point.
So, yeah, decent event still, and one that I thoroughly enjoy. Love the golf course, plenty of risk-reward. I know that Barry likes that as well from his golf courses. The closing stretch of 15, the par 5, 16, the stadium hole, 17, that drivable par 4 with water behind the green and all the way down the left. And then the 18th, downhill, curves to the left, massive bank of people on the right-hand side, birdieable hole. It's a great finish, one of the best finishes on the PGA Tour every year. Right, in terms of best bookmaker for this week's Phoenix Open, we're highlighting Betfred, who for 2024... are running their Pick Your Places market, which gives you the option to increase the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Phoenix outright market. Right now, as we record the pod, they are offering extended market best odds and 8 places each way at 50 odds on players such as Jordan Spieth. Spieth is 18-1 with Betfred, 14-1 with Sky Bet. We've got Sam Burns at 20-1. Sahith Tigala at 33-1. Or how about 45-1 on 2-time stadium course winner Hideki Matsuyama? He's only 33-1 with Paddy Power on the equivalent 8 places each way market. If you're 18 plus and do not have a Betfred Sportsbook account, you can find details of their current bet £10. Get £40 in free bets and bonuses, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. We are dealing this week with the stadium course, TPC Scottsdale. An absolute crackerjack of a golf course. Love it. It's also a very readable golf course. Although saying that, I think we might be in for a bit of a change this year. Winning score here tends to be... Well, you can go back years. Going back to 2016 or 2017, it's been 17 under Matsuyama, 18 under, 17 under, 17 under, 19 under, 16 under, 19 under. So safe to say... It's going to be potentially in that kind of scoring bracket. Although, I'll get this out there right now. I'm literally looking at the forecast now. Tuesday into Wednesday, there are 85 to 90% chance of rain. Significant rain from the middle of Tuesday afternoon through to 8, 9 in the morning on Wednesday. That is definitely going to soften this golf course. Now, I can only remember one year here, and this was before they redesigned the course as well, where it was seriously soft. And I can remember Phil Mickelson waving his magic wand and shooting. I'm just finding the score here. He shot 23 under par to win that year. On a very soft golf course. And neither of you guys will be surprised if I said to you over a pint down the pub, talk to me about players that played well on soft golf courses 5 years ago. I'm sure that Ryan Palmer would come out of either one of your mouths quite quickly in that list. And yep. I know that Ryan Palmer was right in the top four or five that particular year as well. So I've got a feeling, you know, that the scoring might just sneak into the low 20s this year. Now, the one thing that goes against that being a soft golf course is that the temperatures are going to be... This is desert golf, chaps, and I know it's February, but it's meant to be warm. We're dealing with 10 degrees being the warmest temperature on Thursday. It then warms to 13, 11... and 14 on the Sunday. People have been... I can hear our North... our United States... listeners shouting to him, what's that in Fahrenheit, Steve? Well, it's around about 50 to 55 Fahrenheit. It's cold. There's also... It's going to be particularly grey and there's chances of rain on Thursday, maybe even Saturday as well. So it isn't going to be your typical... Waste Management Phoenix Open, sunshine, pretty warm temperatures, and a firm and fast golf course. It's going to be the complete polar opposite of that. Cold, grey, potentially some drizzle, and a wet golf course. Well, when I say wet, definitely some cut in those fairways, and the greens will not be as firm. I mean, sometimes you turn up here, and the greens are releasing on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah,
that isn't going to be the case this year. And I've gone to the trouble, Paul, and I know you build the predictor models. I've actually said, you know, year after year after year after year, you just say, well, it's going to be a mid-score winning target here. I've actually taken the punt and said it's going to be resort scoring levels this year. I think it might sneak into the 20s because I know it's cold, but don't forget we are playing at altitude, over 1,500 feet of altitude. We're dealing with a very short golf course as well, relatively. It's 7,300 yards as a par 71, yeah? And we know that the ball is travelling an extra 9 to 10% just because of the thin air. So you're actually dealing with a sub 7,000 yard par 71.
And little wind as well from what I'm
Yeah, no wind. Saying. Yeah. So it's just going to be soft and murky. Mm. So I don't know if that changes any of the names on the leaderboard. I just get the gut feeling that we might be into. You're going to need to be shooting 17 under to get an each way place, and kind of 22, 21 under might be the winning score. Might have a two on the front. So I don't know if that changes any of your logic or any of the listeners' logic. Other things to watch out for. got to mention the agronomy, haven't we? This golf course is basically a Bermuda grass golf course, but at this time of year, it's overseeded. So the fairways are overseeded with perennial ryegrass and fine fescue. The rough is Bermuda grass overseeded with perennial rye and fine fescue. 2 inches in length. This is the other thing. Compared to Pebble Beach last week, and especially compared to Torrey Pines, the rough this week is pretty inconsequential. The problem you have this week is if you're missing fairways in the wrong spots, you can be up behind a cactus, you can be behind a rock, you can also be in plenty of water. There are 6 of the 18 holes where water is in play. Clearly the 17th being probably the 15th and the 17th being the most well-known of those. You pretty much got a bit of an island green on 15. You're coming in over water if you're going for it in 2. All 3 of the par 5s are reachable because of the elevation and the fact that they're mid-500s in length. 550 yards. This is why I love this golf course. The risk-reward nature of it is fantastic. Other thing to mention, the greens themselves are Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass, but they are overseeded with Poa, Trivialis and ryegrass. So if you want to use our predictor model this week for the Phoenix Open, I would get on there. We have a tab that is specifically for these types of greens, the best performers over the last 5 years. When I say performers, they're not putting stats. They are people that have won or finished in the top 10 on golf courses that feature these greens. Anything that you two want to throw in? I will throw in some course correlations. There's a massive course correlation with Plantation Course at Kapalua. PGA West is another. I mean, that makes sense. Desert Golf Course. I know it's not at altitude, but they feature the same types of greens. Lots of winners here in the past have all had a top 10 finish before they won the actual title. There's a massive, massive link to Sawgrass. And I know Sawgrass greens of late have had Poa Trivialis overseed since they moved it to March.
Yeah.
But Scotty Scheffler's won this and won that. Webb Simpson's won this and won the Players. Ricky Fowler's won the Players and this. Phil Mickelson's won the Players and this. Also, Team No Putt, very much in effect. I mean, when you're seeing a winners list that includes Kyle Stanley, Kevin Stadler, Gary Woodland and Hideki Matsuyama, you know it's not a putting contest. And I do like to putt. I do love to pick players that can't putt. I mean, that's one of my specialities. I mean, Scotty Scheffler, he's not exactly the hottest putter on the planet, isn't he? And he's going for a three-peat this week.
Mm.
Being backed in, chaps, at 9-2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like players going for three-peats. They tend to fail, but this is the world number one. He would be the first player since Steve Stricker to do it. And if you were ever going to make a golf course that was perfect, and I mean 100% perfect for Scotty Scheffler, it's this one.
Yeah. He's going to have his backers this week, and the price has continued to shorten up, hasn't it, with the other withdrawals around him. But
yeah, it doesn't help.
His chances, you know, smack you around the face, obvious, isn't it?
Anything to mention, Barry? I know you're a bit of a course architect. You like your golf courses and how they play. I would have thought that you love this golf course.
Oh, this is a lot of fun on Sunday. It's especially if you have somebody, one of your bets in the mix. It's there's a chance for them to make a charge in the last few holes, and even if they don't, it's exciting to watch usually. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Should be a corker. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I need to add. Oh, average winner, price of winner. Why don't we just mention this? Over the last 5 years, the average price of the winner here is 26-1. If you go all the way back to 2010, it's 45-1. Juicy. This is my kind of spot in the market. The biggest price winner here, it was Baby Walrus, Kevin Stadler, way back in 2014. He won this at 125-1. He's the only triple-digit winner of this golf tournament since 2010. And as we know, I mean, compare this to what the American Express that had a amateur win it this year. That is completely different. I mean, we had Adam Long win that 600-1. A quality player tends to win this. And you can also see that in the fact that over the last few years on the world golf rankings, I'll just run through the rankings. So I'm going back from 2023. Scheffler was second. Scheffler was 15th. I was on him that year when he won his maiden title at 30-1. So 2, 15, 13, 11, 14. Gary Woodland, 53rd in the world when he won in 2018. And we're back to Hideki Matsuyama, 5. So all of the winners of this, bar Gary Woodland in 2018, were in the top 20 in the world rankings. Right, I've gone for 4. I've taken my wife's advice this week, and actually, she's picked them. That is a joke, but she said to me the other day, Steve, why do you keep making short lists of players and then one by one you take them off the list and replace them with someone else? I don't know. She said, why don't you just start picking players that you fancy at the outset and just stick with them? So that's what I've done. Right, first up is Justin Thomas. Doesn't really need a huge amount. This is my narrative on this one, and people can shoot me down in flames, but these are facts. Before Scotty Scheffler's win last year when defending, Koepka, Simpson, Fowler and Woodland had not won on the PGA Tour for 19 months, 20 months, 23 months and 3.5 years. Of course, Scheffler's first win here, he was a Tour maiden. I think his last win had been something over like 2 years on the Corn Ferry. You can even go back to Hideki Matsuyama. He'd won the 2014 Memorial and then came here and won this in 2016. So that's 19 months since his last PGA Tour victory. And Brooks Koepka, he won this on his maiden PGA Tour in 2015. So what I'm suggesting here is following Wyndham Clark in this week to win goes completely against that trend of actually quality players that haven't won for a period of time. And when I say a period of time, I don't even mean last season. I mean the year before that. Justin Thomas literally is the perfect player for that trend. Playing nicely, he ranks number one in my 8-week trackers for both strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained current form. And his form around here is just shockingly good. Third, 13th, 8th and 4th across 5 consecutive years. Now, there was a smidgen of 16-1 about him on first show on Monday. Clearly, Hovland then decided to withdraw. Overnight, Xander's decided to withdraw. And JT's just been smashed. So I managed to get on 12-1 with Betfred. So I'm on JT at 12-1. I've backed him up with another shorty. Now, this guy doesn't overly fit in terms of ball striking machine, which is what you want around here, effectively. You want someone that's sort of middle of the road distance-wise, someone that can keep it out of trouble off the tee. That doesn't mean 100% accurate, but someone that misses the big hazards. You can contend around here missing lots of fairways, but you can't contend around here when you're slapping it in the water or behind rocks. So keeping the ball in play off the tee is a good statistic to look at. Or is it good drive percentage? That would be a decent number. But Sam Burns is an absolute beast on Bermuda grass, but he's also an absolute beast on these overseeded Poa-trivialist greens. Listen to this. Scotty Scheffler has won 4 of his 6 PGA Tour victories, chaps, on Poa-trivialist overseeded greens. Sam Burns has won 3 of his 5 PGA Tour titles on these kind of greens. 2021 Valspar, 2022 Valspar, and as we know, last year he won the match play at Austin Country Club, again on Bermuda grass greens that are overseeded with Poa Trivialis. He putts like an absolute demon on them. So yeah, I'm on Sam Burns, who finished 6th here last year. And if there's one player you want to play your practice rounds with round here who can tell you all the nuances of the courses and what not to do, it's your best mate, Scotty Scheffler. So I'm on Sam Burns, who is in the top 20 in the world, hasn't won a stroke play event for way over 18 months. So I'm on him. I got 2 points each way at 20 to 1 with Betfred on Sam Burns. So 12 to 1, JT, I've got Burns at 20 to 1. Right, Paul, where's your first stake in the turf this week?
Yeah, I've got one slightly longer and then one three figures, which we'll go through afterwards. The shorter of the two is Sahith Tigala, who opened at 50s, actually. And I know you can say the same about a lot of players in this field because the market has been decimated with Hovland and Xander disappearing. But the best day out there, as you actually went through at the start, was 35 to 1 right now. Shot 21 under when he won the Fortinet back in September, which kind of fits with your narrative of where the price or where the winning score might be, rather. 28 under at the Century. You mentioned the Kapalua course as being a correlating or potentially correlating course to this. So he can go low. He can get into the 20s under par, which I like. He was 20th last week. He was robbed of a chance of a better finish by the weather, as were many players. But 20th is solid. 30 on debut back in 2022. Actually, he led after 36 and 54 holes back here on debut a couple of years ago. So got on with the course very nicely. I think he's got a really good chance of making the frame here this week. So 35 to 1 best price. I took him at 33 to 1 with eight places. But as I say, with any players this week, there's a lot of blue on the betting sheets. So if you do fancy a punt on any of these players, then sooner rather than later is probably the best strategy, I would have thought.
Sahith Tigala for Paul. I can't dissuade anyone on that. It all makes very logical sense. Barry, what about you?
I'm going to stay away from the very short stuff, but I have a couple in the mid-range. So I'm going to go for Eric Cole. Just superb iron player and really on a very nice run, other than one missed cut, but he's 14th, 13th, 21st and 14th out of his four of his last five. So it's his first time here, but that doesn't block him from winning necessarily. And so I kind of like the form and kind of mixture of odds around 40 to 1.
Can we ever remember an inexperienced rookie from last season that's been as consistent as Eric Cole? He's literally a machine, isn't he? He's a top 15 machine, Eric Cole.
Yeah, I worry about the win. Yeah, that's the thing.
I can't remember anyone as consistent as this guy. It's unbelievable. Mm. And it seems to be on any kind of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it could be a Torrey Pines 1 week, and then the next week it's on a 6,800-yard par 70 when you need 27 under to win.
It's just got change over the line.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one or two more to drop or, you know, one or two less drop shots this week, and that's the difference between like a top 15 and winning, or, you know, not quite, but close enough. It's just small, small margins, so... just kind of had a note just to keep an eye on him, and particularly with the approach play, the tee to green is more so the approach play than the driving. That being a key thing this week, and never hurts to be a good putter. So I've got team putt going up against team no putt, Steve.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not such a bad idea. Are you? I'd be amazed this week, Barry. Absolutely amazed. I'd fall off my chair if you were not going to put Ben Arn up.
I haven't got to looking at that. I've got thinking about Akshay Bhatia.
Yeah. Now, across all of my statistics, he ticked every single box this week, Akshay Bhatia, and a winner in the desert last year at that Barracuda Championship alternate event.
I'm lumping on him right now then, based on that, because he literally fits the mold of the guy you want to pick but didn't pick for whatever reason, so you still haven't listened to your wife, so I'm... put the house on Bhatia.
Yeah.
It's his first time here, and, you know, he's quite a cheerful, open, fun personality, and I think the crowd and that he'll just feed off that energy.
Yeah.
you know, probably feels like a few more percentage points he'll get a boost out of that than some other players. So it was another, you know, if I needed anything else to convince me, that was it.
You do have to, Andy Lack said this on his podcast over the weekend. He said, try and work out players that are either going to be intimidated by the atmosphere, because this is like a Ryder Cup, a President's Cup. It's like Augusta. Try and find players that don't kind of hide under a bushel when... I don't think it's any surprise, you know, that Brooks Koepka's won this twice, because Brooks only gets motivated at the biggest, most rowdy, most packed events. Just gets his mojo going. And yeah, I think Bhatia, and it's the same with Tigala actually, they seem to come alive in big kind of atmospheres like this.
Mm.
I could go through some of the players. See, I'm not sure Xander's in that mould. I don't know Xander. I'm not sure Max Homer kind of works in that atmosphere. Although he was so good at the Ryder Cup, that's probably saying the wrong thing. But yeah, see, I shouldn't really say this, but for me, Matt Fitzpatrick doesn't really follow that, potentially. I've seen Matt in big atmospheres of Ryder Cup sometimes missing putts, and it doesn't fill me with enthusiasm with someone like Matt Fitzpatrick. When people are shouting at you, you suck when you're missing the flag by like 8 feet on 16. But yeah, it's an interesting angle, I think.
Mm.
I've gone... I didn't... So you're thinking about Ben Arne, are you? But you haven't plumped for him. He's a bit short, isn't he?
I haven't even got to the Ben Arne consideration yet, so don't discount it, but...
But definitely Akshay Bhatia, yeah?
Yeah, if we're going to make a bad call on a player and get get the deserved replies in our in the reviews about blaming us for the bad picks, I'm going to let you take on the Ben Arne case and why you didn't pick him.
We never wins. That's the main reason. By the way, Akshay Bhatia is still out there at 66-1. Right now. Ben Arne, well, he's on my post-it note of doom, so. I mean, just for argument's sake, he right now is exactly the same price, pretty much, as Matt Fitzpatrick, who is a major championship winner and won last year as well. So he's won twice on the PGA Tour in the last 2 years. Now, Matt Fitzpatrick isn't in my best sort of books at the moment, because he decided to shoot 76 on Saturday when Wyndham Clark shot 60. Mm. But, you know, lo and behold. Right, I tell you who I've gone for. I've gone for a player that goes well on short golf courses, has won in the desert, and I know these aren't pure Bermuda grass greens, but it's basically a Bermuda grass golf course that's overseeded. And his... His MO is short golf courses, scorable golf courses, and golf courses that cannot be overpowered and are bedecked with Bermuda grass. So I'm on Siwoo Kim. He's been hitting the ball very, very nicely recently, Siwoo Kim. And he was, I believe he was in the top 10 for strokes gained on approach at Pebble last week. But saying that, I mean, he's been 11th, 15th and 5th for greens in regulation across the Sony, the Amex and last week's Pebble Beach. And I kicked myself royally a few weeks ago because Siwoo Kim was on my list to actually put down for a bet at the Amex, and I think after 36 holes, he was in like second or third spot. And I just said to Paul, it's another one. Siwoo Kim's going to win this. And I've persuaded myself out of tipping him. But anyway, I'm on at 60-1 with William Hill, 8 place each way on Siwoo Kim. I am seeing right now 66-1 out there in a place, 8 places each way on Siwoo Kim. I just think he can pick his way around here. And tee to green right now, there aren't many better in this field in my 8-week trackers. So Siwoo Kim. And my final one, I don't know, Paul might have fancy a bit of this, because I know this. I know Paul keeps a close eye on this particular chap. Kevin Yu. Now, we've pointed out on this podcast for months and months and months that Kevin Yu from Tea to Green is super elite. He was 14th for strokes gained tee to green across the whole of last season, which basically was like, almost like 18 months of golf. If you actually look at the number, he sits beside Corey Connors and Max Homer for strokes gained tee to green last season. I mean, that is super elite stuff. He was 4th for ball striking, 4th for greens in regulation across the whole season, and 11th for par breakers. By the way, Barry, so he, Akshay Bhatia is also very high in those rankings. Good I just news. Think Kevin Yu, who's finished, was he in the top, I think he was in the top five at the American Express and then the top 10 at Torrey Pines. He's also lives in Scottsdale and he went to Arizona State University. So he's a local lad. Now that'll work one of two ways. He'll either miss the cut because all of his friends have turned up and he's had to sort out 60 tickets for them each day, or it'll inspire him. Don't know which way it'll go. I'm on him, so it'll probably go the bad way. But I just thought Kevin Yu hits it a mile, tee to green fantastic, the bloke can't putt. This course is absolutely perfect for Kevin Yu. So I'm on an 80 to 1 with William Hill, 8 places each way on Kevin Yu. Are you on Kevin Yu, Paul?
No, I'm not. I can see the logic though. And I got a little bit annoyed that he was being backed so heavily before I chanced to do anything about it. And I might just have to suck that up and get involved and
don't get price proud, Paul.
No, I know, but when you're looking early and you're seeing three figure prices about a player and you think, well, that's interesting, and the next time you take a glance it's just a sea of blue because he's
a
been
couple of people have put a fiver on him each way and the books are slashing him across the board, which seems to be the mantra these days. Yeah,
Mondays are just an absolute nightmare nowadays, aren't they, with any kind of action on any player, and that's it. They're just getting absolutely slammed, which is a real shame for the industry, to be honest.
But who are you on then at this bigger price? I'm intrigued. It can't be Kevin Stadler, can it?
Why not, Steve? Of course, winner.
Baby no, walrus.
No, I've backed Nate Lashley, 150 to 1. And I think you've got to take a chance on him, seeing as we keep getting these long price winners come through on the PGA Tour. He won the 2019 Rocket Mortgage Classic at 25 under, so we know he can go low. Third last time out, the Farmers. And the Farmers, for me, is not really his forte. So that was an interesting result for me to suggest that he's playing some nice stuff. He putted nicely. He also putted nicely when he came third here on debut back in 2020. So he's got that recent form. He's got some course form from a few years back. And I think 150 to 1, with extended places, which is still out there, I think he could sneak an each-way place this week, Nate Lashley. So just him and Sir Heath for me at the moment. I might just have to take Kevin Yu and suck the price up, but we'll see.
Any more for you, Barry? By the way, on Nate Lashley, it isn't difficult, but finding players with a great West Coast record clearly works somewhere like this. Mm. I mean, look at Gary Woodland. Won this, and then a few years later, or was it the year after, went on to win the US Open, which, Barry, is still one of your biggest ever wins. But it's just West Coast specialists, isn't it, that tend to just pop up here. I've literally just maximised West Coast on the predictor model. Here's the top 10. 10, Siwoo Kim. 9, Tom Kim. 8, Wyndham Clark. 7, friend of the podcast, Ricky Fowler. 6, Tom Hoagie. I'm surprised you're not on Impulse. 5, Sung Jae-im. 4, Scotty Scheffler. We then got Xander, who needs to come out. 2, Justin Thomas. 1, Max Homer. Yep. So 11th would be Chez Reavie.
Chez.
Good old Chez.
Fits the team no putt narrative down to
he
a
does.
Two.
Nate Lashley's in the top 25.
Yeah.
Any more for you, Barry? Or should we move on to Qatar?
The only one I'm doing, and I think I'm just going to ride or die all the way until he gets his win, because I've convinced myself it's going to come, is Jake Knapp.
Why not?
We've got an idea for Jake Knapp further down the schedule, haven't we?
Okay, I'm just going to keep betting him until then. I've got massive FOMO. I've got swing envy, FOMO, everything. So the odds are nice and juicy at the moment. So, yeah.
Have the bookmakers forgotten that he finished in the top five the other way?
They have, yeah. It's nice. He's third. What did you get? So, 140 to 112. Where is it? 12 places? Yeah, 140 to 112 places.
Well,
with Rupert Murdoch, nice. Rupert Murdoch bookies.
Chance of return there, Barry.
Definitely. Right, Paul, the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Take it away.
Yeah, the Qatar Masters. Last event in the Middle East, actually, until the back end of the year when we've got the Abu Dhabi and DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. But quick turnaround for Doha Country Club, as we were here, well, it was back end of October, so one of those oddities of the calendar of the schedule where we've played an event, the same event and the same venue in the space of 3 months. And we saw Sami Valimaki win here back in October at 80-1. No Valimaki actually this week, as you mentioned, he's just snuck into the field over in Phoenix. So we haven't got a defending champion, but that does leave us with a very similar betting market to what we've seen in recent weeks, with Rasmus Højgaard favourite at 10-1, Xander Lombard 18-1, Yannick Paul 20s, Tom McKibben, who's been very heavily backed, 25-1, Tristan Lawrence 25s, Antoine Rosner 28-1, same old names really as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, Keita Nakajima and Sebastian Soderberg 30-1 for those pair, 33-1 bar those players I've just read through. Ball Sports have gone 8 places each way, 50 odds are standard this week. And of course, Bet365 have their each way extra markets running for this. So you can choose 8 or 10 or 12 places on the Qatar Masters with 365 if you so choose. Now we're going back to Doha Country Club, which is good because we've played there since, well, way back. 1998 was the first event, with the exception of 2020 and 2021. So the stacks of course history, if you are flicking through the website and the event history or the combined stats, then do bear in mind, and I've made a note on that, that 2020 and 2021 were played at a different venue. That was Education City, not far away, about 5 miles away or so. But a different course nonetheless. This course, Doha, is a 7,466-yard par 72. It's a Peter Haradine design. Typical exposed desert course. 4 par 5s, a drivable par 4 in the 16th as well. Some work was done on it before the last renewal. The greens were reshaped, extended, so they're bigger greens again now, and relayed with paspalum grass. So that's worth considering for any correlating courses or for players who tend to play better on paspalum rather than the old tired Bermuda, which was there before. Now, the course itself is susceptible to the wind, and there is a little bit of a breeze in the forecast this week, actually. Specifically for the first 2 days, 10 to 15 mile an hour, gusting 20 maybe for Thursday, Friday, and then it does die down a bit over the weekend. Calmer conditions, sunny conditions throughout, temperatures in the low 20s centigrade, so that's the low 70s Fahrenheit, so nothing unusual in that respect. Just a little bit of breeze to keep the players honest over the first couple of days. Looking at some recent winners, let's go back. 2015 is the first one. Brandon Grace won here 25-1. Grace defended the following year, actually, at 8-1. 2017 was Yonghan Wang, 33-1.
Your old mate. You love putting him up, don't you, old Wang?
He's in the field this week.
Yeah. Well, that's not saying a lot, is it?
He hasn't played a great deal of late. I think he's 1,000-1 on the exchange. So if you fancy a bit of Wang.
This was the event that always used to have a real link to the Open Championship, wasn't it? Grace, Garcia, Stenson. Loads of high class winners on this golf course.
Yeah,
and it Thomas was Bjorn. Always windy and gnarly and tough.
Yeah, it's it is a really good correlating course to look back for Lynx players generally. So when I get to the Open Championship and I look back at Lynx courses specifically, this kind of falls into one of the categories that I will consider as being of relevant form. Because, it's, because of its exposed nature, as you say, it often is windy. Other than Thursday, Friday, probably not so much over the weekend here, but you do tend to get a lot of wind positive, coastal positive, Lynx positive players.
Yeah.
I remember watching Thomas Bjorn when he won here, and he got into the maybe 20, 22 under, something like that. And it was absolutely howling, and he was just playing these incredible shots in the wind to win around here.
Chris Woods won here.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the prime example, isn't it? Chris Wood, who managed to cut the top fives at Opens.
Yeah. He started off really strongly in the Open Championship when he first came onto the scene. Again, Chris Wood's in the field this week. So, yeah, there's a few of these old previous winners who've come back just for this event to see how they can get on. But yeah, I think if there was, 20, 25 mile an hour winds throughout in this tournament for this week, then it might shape how to play it a little bit differently. But I think there's probably just not enough in the forecast to make it go all the way to a kind of a specific Lynx heavy selection a team this week. But yeah, no, absolutely, your point's very valid, Steve. So yes, Wang back in 2017, Eddie Pepperell won, and again, Eddie's another case in point, because Eddie's played some really good stuff on different Lynx courses through the UK and Scotland over the years as well. So Eddie won at 70-1 back in 2018. Justin Harding, 55-1. Then it moved to Education City. So Jorge Campillo won 125-1. Antoine Rosner, 22s. Then the last two events that have been held here again back at Doha, Ewan Ferguson, 150-1. And as I mentioned at the top, Sami Välimäki, 80-1, won here back in October. Now, if you look at the historical stats, a combination of greens in regulation and scrambling has often been the best way to get the job done here. Keeping your card clean is good. Birdies aren't quite as free-flowing as some of the other desert tracks, so bogey avoidance, bogey minimisation is fairly important to this week's task, I think. We've got 3 years of strokes gained data as well. So we've got 2019 with Harding, 2022 with Ferguson, 2023 with Sammy. All three of them were solid from off the tee, kind of mid-20s in the field in terms of their relative position. Solid from strokes gained approach. Harding was third for strokes gained tee to green. Ferguson 18th. Sami Välimäki second for strokes gained tee to green. So if you're going to pick just one specific stat to focus or start your analysis this week, then strokes gained tee to green would be one of my key stats. Bogey avoidance as well, I think, would be a good way to start. Greens and regulations, good. Scrambling, that kind of thing, that kind of combination, I think. Now, if you look at current form, if you go back all the way to 2010, each of the winners here at Doha specifically had at least one top 10 finish in one of their last seven starts. So a little bit of current form coming in is good. If you look at Harding, Ferguson and Välimäki, the last three winners here, each of them had a top 10 in one of their last three starts as well. But crucially, not very immediate. So that's why we're getting some reasonably good prices on the likes of Harding and Ferguson and Välimäki. Decent mid-price punts, the three of them. So, yeah, just having a look at someone who may have played well at the Dubai Desert Classic or even the Dubai Invitational, and see if they can pick that form back up now that the tour is leaving the Middle East after this week. Perhaps that's the way forward. Course form, though, not really so important. We talked about Wang. He was making his debut here that year that he won. Harding was making his debut. Ferguson had only played once and missed the cut. Sami Välimäki had played once and finished 40th. So I wouldn't get overly hung up on players that have played well here in the past. And never a bad thing, but certainly not the be-all and end-all in my view. put it all together. I've backed five this week. We've got a similar debate at the top of the market that we've had for the last few weeks. And, you know, you could make a case for Rasmus Højgaard, of course, if you want to take 10 to 1 or thereabouts. Or Yannick Paul. Xander Lombard again was in the mix last week, but didn't convert. And the longer it goes by before Xander Lombard actually wins one, you know, taking 18, 20 to 1 or thereabouts on him to win each week would start to get a little bit expensive, I think, unless he wins one very soon. Yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it? My headline selection, though, is Tom McKibben. And I mentioned that he's been heavily backed. Best price now, 25 to 1. But for me, he's one of these young talents. It's got a really big future. He got his breakthrough win last year at the Porsche. Celebrated his 21st birthday in December. And I think there's plenty more to come from this Belfast boy, I think. Made 9 cuts on the spin now. Started 2024 in really positive fashion too. 25th at the Dubai Invitational. 14th Dubai Desert Classic. 16th Alhambra. Alhambra again, that was another Harradine design, so that's worth considering. Got some progressive strokes going, approach numbers, 41st, 19th, 5th from his last 3 starts. Crucially, I think, for this, progressive strokes going tee to green stats as well. 26th, 14th and 3rd over those same 3 starts. Now, he was 9th here on debut back in October, so took to the course nicely. I think a lot of it's going to depend, and success or failure, really, of this bet will depend on how he putts. And generally, McKibben is a kind of let's call him a neutral putter from a strokes game perspective. You often see him, you know, a fraction the right side or a fraction the wrong side of neutral in terms of his overall strokes game putting performances. But when he did play here at Doha back in October, he gained nearly 4.5 strokes putting on the week, and that was one of his better strokes game putting performances, certainly of last year and of the recent past. So perhaps he took to the greens nicely, these Paspalum greens here, and I think he's striking the ball well enough. I think he's progressing, and his form and his stats are progressive enough to suggest that he could peak this week and potentially win a second tour title. So quite happy to go with Tom McKibben at the top. Also, quite happy to go back to the well with Pablo Larrazabal. Now, Larrazabal's also been backed. I couldn't believe when he opened at 66 to 1 yesterday. That was just a mad price. The best you're getting now is 40 to 1, but I think that's about the right price for Pablo, and I'm happy to get involved with him. I backed him at the Ras Al Khaimah Championship, where he started poorly, missed the cut, and he's one of these guys who's really one of the most active guys on social media. So, you know, he does describe what happens. And with Ras Al Khaimah, he kind of just shrugged his shoulders and said that that's golf, that's the way it goes, and put his feet up for the weekend. Now, I know Barry was on him last week, and he started poorly again, because I remember Barry saying to me that he'd missed a putt from like 2 feet on the first hole, and there was a danger of him throwing the toys out of the pram at that point. But he did go on to make the cut. He finished 29th. He shot 68 on Sunday, and that was the best round of the day, bar one shot. So certainly started to pick his form up towards the end of the week in Bahrain. 9 times a winner now on the tour. Looking for his 10th tour. He's won in the region. He won in Abu Dhabi back in 2014. That was the year he held off Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson. 4th at the Dubai Desert Classic earlier in the month, which I've said is probably a nice little pointer. 7 cuts made on the trot here at Doha as well. A couple of top 5 finishes in the last few years. I think he's got a really good chance of grabbing a 10th tour title here this week, Pablo. 3 others I'll rattle through quickly. Margus Helikilt, I've backed at 50 to 1. It's one of the Danes that isn't really getting as many column inches as the likes of the Højgaard twins and Thorbjørn Olsen, of course, who's won recently. But I think he's another one of these that's well capable of a big breakthrough, and could be another name on the Danish golf radar, or should be over the next few months and years. He hasn't missed a cut since July. Got a couple of top 10s in there. Progressive form over the last 3 starts. 53rd, 51st, 23rd. And finished 12th here at Doha on his debut back in 2022. He was in far worse overall form at the time. And I think he can go better this week. Shown that he can putt on similar putting surfaces in the past. He was second for strokes gained putting at Alhambra back in 2022 on Pasperum Green. So I think he could go well this week. Marcus Helligild at 50-1. Aaron Cockerill, 55-1, the best price I've backed. Now, there's another that's shown enough form in 2024 so far to warrant a little bit of support. He was fourth again at the Dubai Desert Classic. I like that. Rolex Series level, don't forget, the Dubai Desert Classic. Third for Greens and Regulation that week, too. 23rd, Razzle Karma. Sixth, Bahrain last week. He was strokes gained positive in every aspect of his game last week in Bahrain, which is nice. And I think his form really fits the trends of some of those players that have won here. His form also tends to come in patches of 3 or 4 weeks before he goes off the ball again. So perhaps we're in one of those purple patches right now and he'll continue that into this week as well. It was 21st here the year before last. Yeah, perhaps he can keep it going for one final week before the tour leaves the Middle East for Aaron Cockerill. The final one, Scott Jameson. I've backed him at 66-1 with 8 places. I wanted to take as many places as possible with Jameson. You can get 80-1 out there with fewer places, but I've plumped for the 66s. I'll take a chance on the Glaswegian because, you know, we know that he hasn't won for, 11 years now. It was the Nelson Mandela Championship back in, 11 years ago. That was the weather-shortened event. There was only 36 holes played that week. So, he's been keen, I'm sure, to win a fully-fledged, proper four-round tournament since that point. It just hasn't quite happened. 29 top tens I counted since that last victory. One of them was here at Doha Country Club or Golf Club, and that was back in October. He finished third. He's got top tens in Oman, Ras Al Khaimah, Abu Dhabi, at the Emirates as well in Dubai. 16th last week in Bahrain and showing some decent enough form. Just turned 40, so I think, that's the kind of age that it tends to ask some questions, sometimes galvanises players, and you see this resurgence and, another win after a long fallow period is... it does happen from time to time with these players when they hit 40. So we shall see. Anyway, Jameson's in. Cockerill, Helligilder, Larrathabell, Tom McKibben, my 5 for the week. Barry, are you having a punt on the DP World this week?
Yeah, I'm throttling back a little bit. I feel completely lost when it comes to DP World Tour bets. Can't seem to match up. I'm ditching Pablo. Just... if he wins, well done. Good luck to you, Paul. I just can't...
freed him up for me, Barry.
That's it, exactly. Just immediately just ejected last week, and you're never recovering from that. I'm going to go for a couple of big hitters this week to see can they just take advantage of the getting a lot of wedges in their hands. So one is Wilco Nienaber.
Yep.
Finished 7th on the Sunshine Tour last week. Had a bad Sunday. He was tied for the lead going into the final round and was going okay until he had a triple on a par 3 late on the front 9. So that was game over for him. So hoping for a bit of motivational bounce back this week. And then the second bet is Marco, is it Penge or Penge? I'm not sure how to pronounce the surname.
Another long hitter, Yeah,
second on tour in driving distance. Pretty good for greens and regulation as well. Probably could be a bit better considering how far he hits it, but not a bad combination. And he is looks like a member of Team No Put, or at least has a fairly good application in for Team No Put. So, a little tip of the cap to Steve this week. So, those are my two. Both... Nienaber was 50-1 and Penge was 66-1.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, no.
I can raise you on Penge. If you want proper Team No Putt, I'm gonna bat Fabrizio Zanotti.
He does tick a lot of boxes, actually.
I'm gonna take every one of the 10 places each way that are being offered to me by Bet365 at 60-1. Because you're going to need every single one of them when he finishes tied 11th. probably after leading after 36 holes.
Mm.
It's almost as if you can script this stuff, isn't it? But yeah, Zanotti, he's hitting, I mean, state the bloody obvious, but he's really playing well from tee to green. And I just noticed in the strokes gain rankings poll that you can access free of charge at Golf Betting System, he's sitting there in 14th spot, second for tee to green, eighth for approach, sixth for ball striking, and we won't mention the putting.
Yeah. Oh, he's done reasonably well here over the years, so...
Yeah, we haven't seen much of him. He just, you know what he's like, don't you? There'd be a couple of times you bing straight, you know, right up there.
Mm.
I'm going to follow you in on Pablo as well. Amazingly enough,
yeah, I just
fits the bill of recent winners on tour. Olsen last week, Fratelli, experienced sorts that know how to get over the line.
Mm.
So yeah. Those are my two.
Yeah, the 66 to 1 against Pablo early doors.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
No, I missed it, which is a real shame. But yeah, it's that was just the wrong price. But you had to be incredibly quick to have got that. But yeah, I'd say 40 to 1 or thereabouts now. It's probably about right. And you know, this is a guy who's won 9 times on tour. And you know, what was that, 4 of them in the last couple of years or so? 4th recently, the Dubai Desert Classic, you know, a much higher level than this. So, yeah, there's enough to take a chance on him, I think.
I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. Don't forget about the Bet365 sponsored majors competition. Hit the like button if you're listening to this on YouTube. And of course, send us a 5-star review or hit the 5-star button on Spotify. Much appreciated for all of the algorithms. We'll be back next week. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System, it's the Golf